It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Last week was Transgender Awareness Week, and one of the Greens' new MPs, Dr. Elizabeth Kerekere, is a strong voice for the rainbow community here in Aotearoa. And last week, the Greens renewed their commitment to push for meaningful progress for our trans and non-binary whānau. I began by asking James about the process of changing gender on birth certificates, as at a rainbow youth panel and debate in Auckland a couple of months ago, a big question was when a law will pass to make it easier for transgender or non-binary people to change their gender on birth certificates. At the moment, you have to apply through the family court and have had irreversible surgery before you can change your gender on a birth certificate. So I ask, is there any indication that a law may be changing soon to make this process a little bit easier?
Look, I haven't had any indication from the minister yet, but you know, it is still very early days, obviously, in the life of this new government. There was some kind of slow progress towards that in the last term, but it kind of ran into, shall we just politely call it, coalition politics, and so we didn't make as much progress as we would like to. I think in this new governmental arrangement that we've got now, where you've just got Labor and the Greens working together, then we should be able to make more progress. But I don't have a specific timeline.
Mm. Another thing is gender-affirming healthcare, because at the moment, every district health board across New Zealand has different rules and guidelines for funding for gender-affirming healthcare. For example, the Auckland District Health Board requires people to be on testosterone for 12 months before getting certain types of surgery. And a person I know, I spoke to just recently, went through gender-affirming healthcare, and they described the current system as quite archaic because some transgender and non-binary people choose not to take testosterone at all. Luckily, they were able to go private, but it did cost $20,000. What will the Greens do to ensure a more cohesive and fair system that reflects the needs of our trans and non-binary whānau today, regardless of where you reside in Aotearoa?
Well, I think what you're actually pointing to here is one of the issues we have with the system of DHBs overall, which is that you do get these quite high degrees of variance. And it's not just to do with transgender healthcare. It sort of, you know, cuts across a number of different areas. And so the package of health reforms that were indicated towards the end of the last term are going to be one of the top priorities of the new government. So what I hope is that that will then lead to more consistency across the country. That's sort of part of the issue. The other part of the issue that you're talking about is, you know, the sort of sense that actually the treatment itself may be outdated. And again, you mentioned sort of Elizabeth Kerekere's work in this background. The job that the Greens have in this government is to be advocates for using the most modern and inclusive healthcare and science that we've got available to us. So I would imagine that Elizabeth would make it a priority to be talking to Andrew Little, who's the new Minister of Health, about how we can move forward on that.
You've mentioned how it is still early days in this new government, but are these changes something that we can expect to see within the next 3 years?
Look, I just can't tell you. That ultimately is a question for Andrew Little, who's the Minister for Health, and also Priyanka Radhakrishnan, who is the Minister for Inclusion and Diversity. And so I would say that those would be the people who would have ministerial responsibility for that. Whilst Cabinet has started to meet, Parliament itself hasn't even resumed yet. It resumes on Wednesday this week. And so the... I guess the programme of work for the government will get outlined in the speech from the throne that's coming out on Thursday.
The Greens and Labor have promised to ban conversion therapy in Aotearoa. When can we expect to see this ban implemented? Is that something that's high up on the agenda for Greens and Labor?
Well, it is for the Greens. You know, we've been one of the leading voices on that in Parliament over the course of the last several years. Again, that would be a question for the Minister of Health, who has responsibility for that.
Let's move now to the Deep Sea Conservation Coalition. last week, MP Eugenie Sage, along with the Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson, accepted a 50,000 signature strong petition calling to end bottom trawling on seamounts. What is it about this process that is so harmful to our oceans?
Well, if you think that, so the petition itself was actually presented on a model of a particular type of coral that's colloquially known as bubblegum coral. And the way that we think about it is it's kind of like the kauri of the seas. It takes hundreds of years to grow, and it's also very delicate. So what happens with bottom trawling is that you get nets that are basically dragged across the bottom of the ocean floor, which means that fish can't escape under the net. And so it's a highly efficient way of basically strip mining the oceans for fish. But, you know, aside from the huge consequences it has for fish stocks, it also has this consequence of it's almost like dragging a stick across the bottom of the ocean floor and destroying those coral. And actually, a week before the petition was received, Tallies was found guilty of illegal bottom trawling inside a marine reserve. So, you know, the practices that we've got in our oceans are pretty horrendous, and they're certainly not world class. And, you know, we really support the petition.
So now that you've accepted the petition, what happens then?
Well, one of the things that the new government has done is rather than having just a Minister for Fisheries, it's been retasked the Minister for Oceans and Fisheries, and that's David Parker is the Minister responsible there. And so what that suggests is that the Prime Minister is taking a much more holistic view of our oceans as not just a resource to be, you know, like I said, strip mined, which is kind of our historical practice, but rather to move towards a system of thinking about it holistically and in terms of the health of that ecosystem. And I would say that that we should see some reasonably early moves on bottom trawling. It is one of our top priorities in the Green Party. It was one of the six things that we laid down before the election. And it's something that we want to see a lot more progress on in this term than we were able to see in the last term.
I'll finish up with the housing crisis again. But last week, Marama Davidson spoke of a wicked divide between the haves and the have-nots, which has been said to be down to a boom in house prices. Over the past 12 months, house prices have risen by 20%. What is the cause of such a boom?
Well, there are many causes to it, one of which is the fact that there is a lack of supply in the market, so there's much more demand than there are houses available at prices that people are willing to pay. But what Marama was talking about last week and something I talked about the week before is that one of the things that is happening with the COVID response is that the Reserve Bank is essentially printing money in the form of quantitative easing, and that money is flowing through wage and salary earners and things like the wage subsidy and you know, small business concessional loans and things like that. But it's ending up in the pockets of landlords and other asset owners. And so you're seeing essentially the money that's being either borrowed or created by the Reserve Bank is actually inflating the housing market far beyond what is, you know, the issues to do with supply and demand. And so that is really what Marama was saying we've got to get on top of, because whilst the Reserve Bank has responsibility for monetary policy, the government has responsibility for fiscal policy and for tax settings. And those settings currently favour property over all other forms of investment. And so that's where the money ends up. And so you get this artificial bubble, you know, which has nothing to do with the actual value of the houses.
Are the Greens still adamant that a capital gains tax is the best way to address this issue?
Well, we've never said that it is the only way, but it is one of the things that we should do to try and take some heat out of the housing market. One of the problems that we've got is that because property is essentially a you know, virtually a tax-free investment, someone with spare cash would be silly not to put their money into property over anything else, where they have to pay taxes on the income that they receive from those investments. And so that just means that you have this kind of self-fulfilling cycle of people putting money into the property market, which raises the value, which means that people look at it and say, hey, that's a good investment, so they put their money into it as well, and so it just keeps going round and round.
Labor are still quite firm in their stance that they have ruled out this tax. So what other options are there to address this divide?
Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about this in the media, I said ultimately that's got to be a question for the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance. The Green Party has been advocating for a capital gains tax as part of the solution to the problem for over 20 years now. The Prime Minister ruled it out for the time that she is the Prime Minister. She's also ruled out a wealth tax. I think, you know, whilst parties like us can propose, you know, more and more solutions, ultimately if she rules everything out, then it doesn't leave us with a lot of places to go.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.